Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. I'm Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer in New York, and I'm broadcasting here from my bright red desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And there's a lovely light snowfall taking place outside as I speak, making the streets a little slippery, real pretty, just kind of the perfect night to snuggle up with a cup of tea and your astrology weather report. And then after this is done, a cup of tea and a nice, good, cozy book or a favorite TV show or a wonderful movie. The week ahead, February 10th through February 16th, we'll talk about the energy and how you can work with it and what it is. It's the middle of winter. It's the coziness. Mercury and Neptune are joined in the sky, which is why it's making everybody want to nest and hide and cuddle and curl up and be connected, because there's this deep energy around wanting to be related and connected with that Mercury-Neptune, and also a quietness, a privateness, a silence that really is part and parcel of the story. So the Mercury-Neptune conjunction, of course, Mercury is retrograde, so communications are a little fakakta, and you just kind of have to go, okay, let me do it again. So I was teaching a seminar this weekend, and, of course, we decided, you know, we reorganized it in the middle of it because we realized we had two very different groups, kind of more advanced students and more beginner students. So then it was like, okay, punt, you know, reorganize. So I went off to Staples on an adventure when I always go, oh, man, Staples on a Mercury retrograde. But I had a good fairy there, this lovely woman who was very helpful for me. Okay, this is how you do it. This is what you do next. This is what you do next. So it was very magical, and it actually was a very positive experience. I thought, that Mercury-Neptune is working for me today. So the idea of Mercury-Neptune is recognizing that you're going to be involved in something, and you're going to have a really good plan, and then it's going to change, and it's going to turn into some other plan, and you're going to go, I didn't really see that coming, but you know what? I can handle it. I'm good. Mercury is trine to the north node of fate, so making those adjustments is very easy to do, and just encouraging you to do them and saying, yep, let me make those adjustments. Let me shift it. Let me change it. The north node of fate is at the very end of Scorpio. We're back to August of 2012 and what was going on then when the nodes entered Scorpio at 29, and they've been going backwards ever since. So think back to that last week of August of 2012 and what was going on for you then, because the node of fate is there. And Mercury's trining that node, bringing up the story from that time, helping you understand it and helping you see what's going on. And as he's retrograde this week in Pisces, but then he shifts back into Aquarius on Wednesday night on the 12th. And he's going to be in Aquarius then retrograde until he goes direct at the end of the month on the 28th. And then he goes back through Aquarius, and then he goes back into Pisces again. So you dove into the swimming pool, and now you're climbing back out. This week, getting back in the air, and you're going to be thinking really well as of the 12th. And there'll be a lot of energy about reversing and revising and seeing how things can change and what's new and possible. And the Mercury retrograde, of course, means we run into our ghosts. We run into people we haven't seen in a while. We connect, reconnect. And so today when the seminar was ending, Kristen looked at me and she goes, I don't know when I'm going to see you again. And I said, we don't have a plan, but with Mercury retrograde, we know we'll be back together again. She's like, okay, I'll listen to the radio show tomorrow at 6:30 in the morning, because she listens on her way to commuting. So, Kristen, we're already connected. You know, it's that Mercury-Neptune. It's right out there connecting us. So understand you're going to be running into ghosts. You're going to be running into people from your past. You're going to be having really interesting, sublime experiences, because Mercury's trine to Neptune brings you the dream, makes you want to work with the dream. Venus is slowly pulling away from her almost conjunction with Pluto. She didn't quite meet Pluto, and now she's pulling off, and she is, of course, a morning star now. She rises in the morning before the sun, so she's a little more assertive and aggressive, and she's a little more focused on what she wants, which is what Venus in the morning star condition does, because she's a morning goddess then. You know, she can't lay around eating grapes and bonbons and having delicious intimate moments with partners. She's got to get up and go to work and make money and all that other Venus things that Venus does during the day. So she's in Cappy, and she's happy, you know, because she's kind of given this lovely energy of, okay, let's move forward, and where do I want to go? Mars, of course, is in Libra, and he is slowing down too. He and Saturn are both slowing down. They're both going to station in a couple of weeks. So this week, the story kind of grinds in, the stationing story. So you really want to pay attention to the story the back end of February. And I think it starts now because Mercury's in Aquarius. It's going to be in Aquarius this week. But it might be next week. But the idea is these two planets, Mars, and Saturn, are going to stop on March 1st, and then they're going to go backwards for a long time. And then they're going to go forwards again, and they're going to figure the story out. Mars is going to figure out his story at the end of July, and Saturn's going to figure out his story at the end of October. So these are very important decision-making days, right? And one of the things that we, you know, I talk about is when Saturn is, all the planets except the Sun and the Moon go retrograde. Saturn goes retrograde for 9 months. Now, when you hear 9 months, what do you think? A human baby, a human gestational period. So when we're working with Saturn, we're often working with some big evolutionary growth spurt. Because he is, you know, for many, many, many thousands of years, he was the limit of the solar system. He was the last planet we could see unaided, without a telescope, by our eyes. And so, and of course, he has those rings around him, so his imagery just completely screams limitation, you know. But he also is what we structure our life around. And our Saturn transits are very much about the life structure that we're at. Right now, he's at 23. So think about what you were doing when you were age 23. Right now, he's bringing up age 86. And he's bringing up Mercury Neptune there. That one was. He's also bringing up 1956 if you're a little older, because he's really working on these bigger stories, these delving deep in. And he wants us to really understand things. This week, the Sun comes to square Saturn. Now, last fall, the Sun joined Saturn, right? And we started a year, and every year, Sun joins Saturn, we start a year-long story about becoming conscious about what Saturn wants us to do. In this sign, in Scorpio, Saturn wants us to commit to our life. He wants us to commit and go deeper. He wants us to commit to our partners. He wants us to commit to our passion. And he asks us to really stand up and be counted. So this week, as the Sun squares him, Sun's going to look at Saturn and say, are you committing? Well, you're going to be asked to commit to something, and you're going to be asked to make a stand probably on Tuesday afternoon, maybe sooner. But you know you're getting asked to commit, and you know that there's an energy afoot here that people want you to go, okay, let's get there. Let's go for it. Let's change that, and let's get that shuffled up and figure out what it is. So the Sun square Saturn has an enormous ability to ask us to commit to something, and it happens every year. But it often happens to us, and what we do is we go, okay, you know, I really need to focus on this. I know I said I was going to do it, and I haven't done it, so now I really need to do it, because there's a psychological action-taking component with it. The other thing that happens this week, besides Mercury going into Aquarius and Sun squaring Saturn, is Sun and Mars have a trine, right? There's a trine between the Sun and Mars. Mars is at 25 Libra, and the Sun's going to catch it. So this takes us back and helps us understand the bigger story of how we take action in the world and what our purpose is in taking action. So it's an action-taking energy, and it's a very nice energy for that, for doing that. And when we have that, we kind of go, okay, let me figure that out. Let me figure out how I'm going to take action on this, because I know I need to. And then we also have, so the Mars and the Sun trine is very much about taking action and figuring out something you maybe didn't know about, but also that there's a very strong energy around needing to know about something, needing or wanting to know how something works. And we watch that Sun-Mars trine saying, okay, I need to be effective here. I need to take step forward and do this. We also have a full moon this week. The Sabian image for the moon is daybreak, which suggests that we're starting a whole new cycle. And if you think back to summer of 2012, again, we're back to that summer of 2012, August, when the Sun and the Moon met on a new moon that last week of August, around August 22nd, they started a new cycle. And now we're at the full moon of that cycle. So we're looking back on what happened then, and we're coming to understand it. So in my case, that was when I gave up gluten. And, you know, I have really been pretty good. I mean, every now and then I slip, but for the most part, I'm really holding the line on the gluten thing. And as I've reported, you know, I do palmistry too. One of the things that happens is your hands change as you change. So when I had looked at my lifeline, it was all broken up in little scabby pieces. And I can report now that basically a year and a half after 20 months after giving up gluten, my line is completely healed. It's completely rejoined. There's a couple places I'd like it a little stronger, but it's completely changed. So I can look at that as, because I was whining and complaining, if you remember, that summer of 2012 when I one of my students, Sergeant Pepper, pointed out that I was coughing and hacking every time I ate gluten. And I was denial, I was but then I was like, nope, you know, I am coughing and hacking every time I eat gluten. And the less gluten I eat, the better I feel. So there it is, my hand is completely healed. So thank you, Sergeant Pepper, for pointing that out. But it also is a wonderful thing, because what we do is we realize how far we've come. So think about that summer of 2012 and what went on for you. It's daybreak of that summer, because we're back at that that end. The sun at 27 degrees of Aquarius, the full moon that we're having on the 14th, is an ancient pottery bowl filled with violets. Right? Think of that image. And I do write about these. I mean, I don't write about these. I put what Linda Hill writes about these in my column every week. So there'll be a description of it, which you can find at astroann.com. But when I was a little kid, my grandmother was really into violets. You know, she always had these bowls. They were in the northern part of she had a bay window in the northern part of her house, and there were violets in those windows. And I always see violets and think of her. Right? And when I was younger, I made her a beautiful pillow with violets on it in needlepoint. So daybreak and a clay pot filled with violets. Watch for that imagery, how it shows up in your life this week. There's a blooming happening. Now, we know in February things don't really bloom. It's the middle of winter. But actually, Candlemas was the time when they would start sprouting things, which what we had a couple weeks ago. On the 2nd of February, we'd start sprouting things and get them up and running and out in the world and able to grow so that they would be ready for the spring when we were ready to plant. So there's a lot of energy around that this week, too, that sprouting, growing, helping things grow. So our moon is in Cancer on Monday and Tuesday, and it goes void on Wednesday with a square to Mars. So think of it, moon in Cancer, square Mars in Leo. Our desire for home and nurturing is going to be arguing with our need for partnership. We're going to want a partner, but we're not necessarily going to know how to. Or we're going to emotionally be in the mood to partner, but we're going to have to work out some logistics of how to do it. So that's Monday and Tuesday. Not to say you can't partner, but that there's a story around it, or there's an emotional reasoning why you're maybe a little uncomfortable with it. Then we go from the Cancer moon. We're void in the morning on Wednesday morning, void, until 2:15 in the afternoon. Then the moon goes into Leo. It's in Leo Tuesday, Wednesday afternoon, all day Thursday. And on Friday, it goes void at 10:13 at night with an opposition to Mercury, retrograde Mercury. Think of it, moon in Leo, opposite Mercury in Aquarius, because Mercury's now moved into Aquarius, right? So the moon and the emotional needs, when you've asked for them on Monday or Tuesday, you were told it wasn't going to happen on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, Wednesday night, Thursday and Friday. And then maybe you're a little sad. But you also go, well, I have some clarity. Violet's in the antique pot. A new day will dawn. This maybe isn't going to be working. Let me try something else. And remember, Mars and Saturn are slowing down, getting ready for their station. Then we go from the Leo, the creative, the fun, the playful moon, that big full moon that helps you see things at 6 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock at night. The moon is very full. I was walking home last night after dinner with a group of students that we went out to one of my favorite Italian places on the Upper East Side and had a lovely meal. They have the best olive vodka. If I'm a macaroni and cheese girl, they have amazing olive vodka pasta there. So, as well as many other things, including a portobello mozzarella tower with balsamic vinegar reduction sauce. at any rate, I was walking home, and as I came around York Avenue, there's this little bench near a, there's a little flower shop that I really like. So I sat down on the bench and just kind of looked at the moon for a while as it was going by, and I thought, yeah, it's so pretty. It almost full. It's getting bigger. It's getting bigger. So it's full this week. So watch the moon grow. This is a great week to grow things, to get things out into the world. Moon goes into Virgo on Saturday and Sunday, and the closing aspect is a sextile to Saturn, so it's very productive, gets a lot accomplished. Moon sextile Saturn, think about Virgo moon, working hard with Saturn in Virgo, busy, 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 getting a lot accomplished. I know I'm going to be working with my friend Shirley on her book this week, getting that out. And our ideas here are to... over the weekend. Our ideas with Moon in Virgo sextile to the Saturn is it gives us an enormous ability to get things accomplished and finished. Of course, it's a closing sextile, so that gives us a lot of opportunity to wrap up projects that we maybe were working on. And then the Moon has a couple of aspects. Mercury has an aspect that trines Mars. Mercury in Aquarius, trines Mars in Libra. So it's partnership. It's working. And then, of course, it's President's Weekend on the 17th. So we're off. A nice long holiday there on the 17th. And, of course, Valentine's Day on the 14th. Valentine's Day is in Leo. And the Sun trines the Mars that day. So it's a good thing. And I remember Dan Savage always says, go out to go, you know, have sex and then go out for dinner. Don't have dinner and then have sex, because you'll be too tired and you want to digest. So I thought, that's an interesting concept. Or, you know, just do it on a different day. So Valentine's Day is this week on Friday. So happy Valentine's Day to all of you that have Valentine's. The other thing we're going to see this week is, so the moon is going through emotions, cancer, feeling, sensitive, Leo, creative, playful, and then Virgo, work. This weekend, the 15th of February, great weekend for working on things, working on your taxes, getting stuff done. And one of the people that comes to the Open Center, Church of the Transfiguration, is an accountant, and he has advised everybody to get your taxes in early. There is some hellacious aspects mid-month in April. So file your taxes sooner rather than later, if you can this year. And this would be a great weekend to do it while Moon is in Virgo sextiling Saturn in Scorpio. There's a lot of energy around paying attention to those details and figuring out what needs to happen. So this weekend's a good one for taxes. So we also look at the week ahead. The Sun is in Aquarius. Going to 20 from 21 to 28. Next week it goes into Pisces, so we get to the back end of winter. But this is winter. And the Sun, of course, joins Mercury because Mercury is going retrograde, which means the Sun and Mercury are going to meet. So people are going to be pretty opinionated about their opinion about how things should work this week because it's a condition called combust. What a combust Mercury is nobody thinks they're wrong. And, of course, Mercury's in Aquarius and the Sun's in Aquarius. And if you know some Aquarians, lower form Aquarians, of course, not the higher forms. They're really wonderful. But the lower form Aquarians can be a little bit of a know-it-all on a bad day. So this is kind of a know-it-all energy where people go, I know what happened. It's like, no, you weren't there. You have no clue what happened. But understanding that we're all going to want to do that because first the Sun in Aquarius is going to square Saturn saying, you don't know what you're doing. And then Mercury and the Sun are going to get together and they're going to go, yes, I do. And the Sun's going to trine Mars. So the idea with this energy is to look for how you can partner with people. It's really important to partner with people and encourage that partnership energy to grow as opposed to being righteous in your own mind. And, of course, Aquarius is the sign of the group, the audience, the observer. So there's a lot of energy around that with him also. Or that with that sign, and the Sun and Mercury joined in it. It also, on the 15th, makes for a really brilliant idea, okay? Because you can have some amazingly brilliant ideas with this Mercury combust the Sun that are really out there, that are truly astonishing, that you kind of go, wow, I can't believe I thought of that. And you did. And so it's a great week for coming up with really good ideas, especially after Wednesday when Mercury enters Aquarius. So this week, Mercury also, Mercury grows from 1 Pisces backwards, because he's going retrograde, to 25 Aquarius. So he touches the nodes of fate again on February 11th. Watch who you meet, especially in the afternoon on February 11th, around 4:30 Eastern Time, 1:30 Pacific Time, and wherever else you live in the world. Because Mercury's going to make some important connections. These are emotional and karmic connections that are going to allow you to transform. They're going to be related to what went on in August of 2012, but they're also about taking you to the new level, helping you get to the new direction, helping you figure out where you're going. Mercury trines Ceres this week, so it's great news about creating, being a partner, being a parent, becoming pregnant, giving birth to something, getting a yes for your book deal. And don't worry if Mercury's retrograde. You're going to negotiate it for a couple more weeks and not sign it till next week. But this is a great week for signing contracts, especially around creative projects. We talked about Mercury changing signs. He also has a semi-square to Pluto, so there can be a little bit of a power struggle on the weekend. It's really not worth it, you know, kind of look for the higher ground, look for the way we can do it. And there's also a conclusion to things on the weekend where there's kind of a, okay, we're not going to really get that done. And Mercury's trine to Mars has a great deal to do with the process that we go through and how we get there. Mercury trine Mars is a very productive aspect. I happen to have a Mercury square Mars. And I like it. I mean, it does on occasion get me in trouble because of my mouth, I talk too much. But the trine makes you be very strategic in what you're saying, and it's great for negotiating things. So if you've got some negotiating projects that you want to work on this week when Mercury's in its exaltation, trine Mars while the moon's in Virgo, great week to do it. So this is a wonderful week. Again, back to your taxes, too. Venus is kind of quiet this week. She's retrograde, moving backwards, and she is, I'm sorry, she's direct, moving forwards. I take that back, so I said she was retrograde. No, she's forward. Mercury is in Pisces, I'm confused. Venus is parallel Saturn and parallel Pallas Athena, which means she's at the same declination. This allows you to see patterns that haven't perhaps been as productive as you might like. Okay? So our job with this is to say, what are we doing and where are we going and how are we going to get there? So Venus parallels Pallas Athena, and Venus parallels Saturn is a wonderful aspect for connecting, relating, enjoying, finding things out, figuring things out, and working hard. And that happens on the 10th and 11th on Monday and Tuesday. Mars is quiet this week aside from his trines with the Sun and Mercury, which means he's happy, right? He's, you know, he's not so happy in Libra because he has to be nice. We did the workshop this weekend, and it was very funny to see Eva, who's one of my quiet girls. You know, like I have different kinds of categories of students, and Eva kind of is in the quiet girl, but she's a little shy. But she was assigned the role of being Mars, so she was there stamping her feet like, I'm mad! And it was really funny because, you know, Mars works in quiet girls too. So we watch this energy of the Mars in Libra as a partnering and a relating and a connecting and how you're going to work together. Very strong energy around that connection. Saturn is also parallel Pallas Athena. Now, we don't often see those guys working together. Pallas Athena is an asteroid. And, you know, she's the father's daughter, which is great. But, you know, her father was Jupiter, so this is her grandfather that she's hanging out with. So there's a lot of energy when she joins up with Saturn about seeing old patterns and understanding how to do things. It's a fabulous aspect for organizing things. And I find a lot of my Pallas Athena clients or people with a strong Pallas Athena are very brilliant at figuring out a good way to get things accomplished. So, like this weekend, we were trying to figure out how to break up in groups, and I, you know, whatever. I was not having a fine moment there, nor was one of my co-hosts. And so one of my students, Aaron, who, you know, is used to mobilize hundreds of thousands of 500,000 people for the Pentagon, she goes, Ann, count to six. And I'm like, okay, count to six. And it worked because she was just right there with that brilliant Pallas Athena of hers, she's fabulous at spotting the patterns and figuring out how to organize things. So this week, with Mercury parallel Pallas Athena, you're going to find your pattern ability, your spotting ability, your ability to see things is extra strong. We also have Jupiter and Uranus coming together. Now, they're going to actually meet up next week, but they're building. Now, we know we have that cardinal square in the sky. So as they get bigger and bigger, Jupiter's going to want to expand stuff, and Uranus is going to want to break free. And so our job with these guys is to kind of say, they both need to be honored. We don't want to diss one over the other. Come here. And now I would like you to know there's not a new cat in the house, but you can hear Remo calling. Since Handsome died, Remo has become incredibly chatty. You hear him back there? And it's like I have a talking cat again. So Handsome has moved on. Remo has now decided he's going to be the talker in the family. So expect to hear more of Remo as we go forward. But Mercury Pallas, or Pallas, first we're going to have Saturn joining with her. We're also going to have Venus joining with Pallas, and we're going to have Saturn joining with Pallas. So the three of them together are going to help you see the patterns that you hadn't seen before. You're going to be able to know how many people to have them count off by to put them in the right groups. You're going to have a vision of how to organize or structure things, and this aspect is fabulous for doing it. Now, remember, Mercury's in Pisces, so everything's a little confused right now. But once Mercury goes into Aquarius, he gets brilliant, and he's able to completely see how to redo things and reorganize. That makes this week a fabulous week for reorganizing your files, reorganizing your computer, you know, your data files, where you store everything, reorganizing your systems on how you do stuff. Mercury retrograde is about taking chaos and helping it form into something better, and this is a fabulous week for doing it, completely supported by many of the other planets in the heavens, not the least of which is the Pallas Athena parallel to Venus and Saturn saying, you got to figure out what you're doing here, people, so watch for that. We also have a little bit of envy on Valentine's Day. Uranus is opposite Eris, the goddess of discord. Not good. By declination, even more not good. Now, Valentine's Day, as we know, tends to be one of those holidays people either love or they hate. Tends to not be one of those ones people are neutral about. So with this aspect happening at the same time that Juno is semi-sextile Eris, this Valentine and Pallas Athena is sesquiquadrate Valentine's Day, or Eris. This is a week where the beloved can be a little cantankerous, all right? This is not a bad thing. But when Venus is in Capricorn, you know, she's approaching a sextile to Saturn. So she's pretty clear. I can't believe this cat's making all this noise. She's pretty clear what she wants. And if she's going to be denied, she's going to be irritable, all right? So you want to make sure you keep your Venus happy. Now, a lot of times people go, you know, when you say things like that, I have no idea how to deal with it. All right, look at the degree of your Venus in your chart, what degree and sign it's in, right? So let's say your Venus, like Venus right now, is at 17 degrees Capricorn 10 minutes. That means she's 17 years old and 2 months old. Right, so Venus right now is 17. So think about a 17-year-old kid, eye-rolling, you know, mom, you know, what do you know? You don't know anything. Kind of that impatient with authorities at the same time thinking they're all grown up. And then the next day they hug you, they love you, right? So it's, you know, you think of kids in that teenage phase where you're like the most stupid person in the whole world. And then you're really smart the next day, but that's because they need the car keys. And then you're really stupid the day after that. So Venus is in Capricorn this week, so she's got this little irritability thing with her. So what you really want to do is just kind of honor that she's maybe a little annoyed. Look at how old your Venus is. If you have your Venus is at 5 degrees, your Venus is 5 years old. Your Venus is at 10, your Venus is 10 years old. And give her something that a 10-year-old would like. Give her something that a 5-year-old would like. Got a Venus that's 29, got a whole different taste than a Venus that's 3. But this is a week to honor Venus and really help her and encourage her and be nice to her because she has some crappy aspects towards the end of the week where she's maybe not feeling the love. On the 11th of February, Ceres hits the nodes of fate, at 1 degree Scorpio Taurus. That's a big departure date, okay? Whenever Ceres hits the nodes, there's a big departure taking place. So we can anticipate some major departure that everybody's going to be deeply emotional about because it's on the world axis and because it's faded and big and strong. So on that note, have a great week. It should be fun. It's not particularly eventful. It is deeply emotional. And we're working. We're working the energy. We're getting ready for the station. But in the meantime, work your little butt off. It's a great week to get stuff done, particularly this weekend coming up when the moon is in Virgo and Venus is exalted and everybody's happy and content. The beginning part of the week, good week for saying, I don't really need that anymore. Let me figure out where to go. So that's all. This is Ann Ortley signing off. I'm going to go play with the cat. And I've been away for 2 days at this conference, so he's not been played with also. That may be why he's yelling at me. I came home and I fed him, but that's not enough. He wants some playtime. And you need some playtime. Take it. Enjoy it. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.